Today, the scripture reading will be from Matthew 26, 31 through 35. That is Matthew chapter 26, 31 through 35. Jesus takes his disciples to the Mount of Olives and says to them, "This very night you will fall away because of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and all the sheep of the flock will scatter." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away because of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the roosters crow, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I must die with you, I will never disown you." And all the disciples said the same.
Brethren, have you ever had something that you really wanted to do, really wanted to accomplish, something that was very important for you, and when it was all over, somehow you failed? I don't know why, when I first started this introduction, I thought about a movie or a television show I watched one time where one of the children in the family wanted to do a science project. And the whole family worked on the science project. It was some kind of volcano. They were supposed to plug it in, and the volcano would erupt and the lava would flow. And when they plugged it in at the science fair, the whole thing blew up. So they failed. Have you ever really, really, really wanted to do something, and when it was all said and done, you had failed? I have. Have you ever had that sinking feeling in your stomach because at least temporarily you thought all of your hopes and all of your dreams and all of your desires and all your wishes and all your wants had been crushed because whatever it was that was very important for you to do, you failed? You know, I think I speak for all of us. At one time or another, maybe even now, we have wrestled with problems like that. Maybe we're wrestling with problems like that right now. And we don't want to fail. But we realize that that is a possibility. And I think the ones that bother me the most are the failures that just come from out of the clear nowhere. They surprised me. There was no way to anticipate it. In fact, I'm notorious for saying, "What's happening? This is not supposed to happen to me." But it does. And here again, I think I speak for everyone. And if you have never tasted athletic failure or academic failure or vocational failure, and we could go on and on, if you've never tasted that failure, then God bless you, and keep your fingers crossed, because it's probably coming. And then all of us fail from time to time, and I've really struggled with my wording in this lesson because I catch myself using the word failure when really I should be using the word failing. All of us fail from time to time, but that doesn't make us a failure. Let's look, though, at the classic illustration. All of you have heard of the Titanic. Most famous failing or most famous failure of all time. The unsinkable Titanic. The designers designed it so it could not or would not sink. The builders built it so it could not or would not sink. But in April of 1912. I don't remember very well. I was only 8 years old at the time. But in 1912, it hit an iceberg and the unsinkable sank. And people didn't believe it. But it did. And the only reason we know about it today is because it sank. Had the Titanic been commissioned for 20 or 25 years and then retired, we would never be talking about the Titanic today. But we're talking about it because it was the unsinkable and it sank. It failed. It was a failure. Now, let's use that as our introduction to our main character of our lesson. The human example of the Titanic would be the Apostle Peter. In Matthew chapter 26, where Eli read just a moment ago, Jesus is in the upper room. He is with all of his disciples, and he acknowledges that one of them is going to betray him. It was Judas. We know that happened. And then he institutes the Lord's Supper, and he makes the pronouncement that Eli read a moment ago. Jesus said, "All of you will be offended because of me." Offended means to lose their faith. All of them would lose their faith in Jesus as the Son of God when they see him arrested, taken away, and ultimately crucified. And Peter, you know, the impetuous one, the big fisherman, says everybody else might run away. Everyone else might be offended, but I never will. And Jesus said, "Peter, let me tell you something. You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows." And Peter said, "Jesus, you're wrong. I'll die with you. I'll never deny you." But we know how the story turns out. Judas leads the Jewish soldiers up to the mount, to the garden. Jesus is arrested. Judas plants that hypocritical kiss on his cheek. All the disciples run away. And Peter, though, does get close enough to know what's going on. Jesus was taken to the high priest and the father-in-law of the high priest, back and forth with all of these illegal judgments and illegal trials. And Peter still gets a little closer and a little closer. And finally, the King James says, a young lady says, "I know you. You've been with Jesus." And Peter said, "Oh, no, I have not." That's one. And he moves away from the fire and he moves more toward the entrance. And someone else recognizes him and says, "Yes, I know you've been with Jesus." He said, "I have not." That's two. And then finally someone says, "Even your accent betrays you." You know, he's down in Judea. He had a Galilean accent. "Even your accent betrays you. I know that you've been with Jesus." And the Bible says that Peter, the big fisherman, the rock, cursed and swore and said, "I don't even know the man." And he went out and wept bitterly. Because exactly what he said he would not do, he did. I'm not going to say Peter was a failure, but Peter certainly had his failings. Now let's jump forward a few weeks. We're going to go to John chapter 21. We're going to stay there for the rest of our lesson. In John chapter 21, Jesus now has already been arrested. He's been tried. He's been crucified, buried in the tomb. After 3 days, he rose from the dead. Now he is living a time before he ascends back into heaven. He has been seen by Peter and many others as well. But Peter, at least it seems to me, has a problem getting over that failing. Maybe he thinks he's a failure, but he's having a problem getting over it. He's having a difficult time convincing himself that what he did was just human weakness, and Jesus needs him even more now than he ever did before. And so what does Peter do? He goes home, goes back to Galilee. You remember all of the apostles other than Judas, who was from Judea, they were all from Galilee, so they say, "We're going with you." And where do you find Peter as we get into the 21st chapter of John? He's gone fishing. I shouldn't have said it that way. There's nothing wrong with what he did. He needed to find a place of comfort. He needed to find a place where he could reflect on what he did. He needed to find a comfort zone, a comfort area. And so he goes fishing. Down in verse 3, and I'm paraphrasing, Peter said, "I'm going fishing." The other disciples saying, "We're going fishing with you." They fish all night and they catch no fish. But he still found a place that was comfortable. And brethren, I speak for all of us. We need from time to time just a place that is comfortable. We like that level of comfort. Maybe things have not been going well in our home. Maybe things have not been going well at school. Maybe they've not gone well at our workplace. And we just need time to reflect. We need to find a zone of comfort. Peter went fishing. That's what fishermen do, isn't it, Kidron? Fishermen like to fish. An artist likes to draw. A musician likes to play. Peter was a fisherman, and so he finds that fishing is his comfort level, and he fishes all night long, and he must be a fisherman more like me. He didn't catch a thing. But he still got what he was looking for. He found that degree of comfort. Now, before we get to our real application, let's make some general observation. Brethren, first of all, we need to learn from our failure. And again, not failure, but failings. We need to learn from our failings. Even the worst experiences can be the greatest teacher if we will allow them to do so. One thing in Peter's favor was he admitted his weakness. He admitted his mistake. When the rooster crowed, immediately he went out and wept bitterly. That's a problem we see in the world. There are people that just won't take personal responsibility. It's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. They refuse to acknowledge a weakness even in their life. They just blame it on somebody else. They just transfer it away from themselves. Peter, though, he owned it. He committed that sin, and he wept bitterly. Proverbs 28, verse 13, he who conceals his sin, others say he who hides or covers up his sins, does not prosper. And a newer translation, and I like this wording, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. Well, Peter admitted his mistakes, and he became successful, much, much more used by Jesus after the denial than before. Now let's get back to the Titanic. History records that even after they struck that iceberg, that people wouldn't even acknowledge a possibility of danger. The bands kept playing. They kept drinking their champagne and eating, I was going to say, foie de gras. What is liver, you know? They just didn't realize there was danger. And then it sunk. Peter realized it was danger when what he had done, I almost said hit him right between the eyes. No, it hit him right in the heart. When what he had done hit him right in the heart, he decided he needed to take care of it. We'll see how he took care of it in a moment. But he needed to take care of it, and the same is true today. Now follow closely with me. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All sinners need a Savior. All. But even spiritually speaking, there are some Christians that refuse to own their mistakes. They refuse to own their sins. The Bible says all of us have sinned, but they try to put it off with some kind of cliche word like, well, it was just kind of shadowy, or it was kind of a gray thing that I did. No, sin is sin, and all of us have sinned. And in Romans 6:23, Paul says, yes, all of us have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. We need to realize that. So I think going fishing was a good thing for Peter. He needed to reflect, and that's what he did. He did not dismiss his mistake. He did not pretend it didn't happen. Brethren, again, some of the greatest lessons we learn is from mistakes that we make, but we need to make them. I'm sure all of you, if you're interested at all in medicine or in science, you've heard of Jonas Salk. Salk is the man that created the polio vaccine, and I really think it's eliminated, at least in the United States, as a disease. I don't know of anyone that has polio anymore. Maybe there are. But he invented it. But in his autobiography, he said that he had tried hundreds and hundreds of formulas before he found a vaccine that worked. And also in his autobiography, he said there was one particular newspaper reporter that was always giving him a hard time. And he worded his question like this: how does it feel that you failed hundreds and hundreds of times while you were looking for a vaccine for polio? He said, I don't feel I was a failing. I don't think I was a failure. I was just finding out what didn't work. And sometimes we just need to find out what doesn't work. Walt Disney, I understand, went to over 300 banks before anyone loaned him the money for Disneyland. And you'll really like this one. A man named Jim Denny was the manager of the Grand Ole Opry in the early 50s. And after one performance, he fired this young singer and told him, you're just not going to make it in this business, Elvis. But Elvis didn't give up. He learned from that mistake. He became what he is. Let me paraphrase Proverbs 20, verse 30. Sometimes it takes a bit of pain before we change our ways. Point number two, we need to let go of our failures. We need to learn from it, and then we need to let it go. Learn from it, and then let it go. You've heard the old saying, let go and let God. Peter fished all night long, didn't catch a thing. Next morning, he sees someone up on the shore. He doesn't know it's Jesus. When he recognizes that it's Jesus, what does he do? He jumps in the water and swims to shore. He left his area of comfort to get with the man who could bring him comfort that surpasses all understanding. And brethren, that's what we need to do. You know, I've used this illustration before, but if God can forgive a murderer, remember Moses? If he can forgive a prostitute, Rahab? If he can forgive a drunk, Noah? If he can forgive an adulterer, David? He can forgive us. Brethren, I don't mind admitting he's forgiven me thousands and thousands of times, and he'll forgive you thousands and thousands of times. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why then don't we forgive ourselves, learn from our mistakes, and move on? Too many people ruin their lives because they get hung up in something that they did years and years and years ago. They just stop in that past moment. They get stuck in that ditch and they just can't get past it. You know, if only they had done this, if only they had done that, if only they had gone, if only they had stayed. You know, today we talk about the Titanic. And we're filled with those if only questions. If only they had sailed around the icebergs instead of through them. If only they had heeded the warning. If only they had avoided the danger. If only they had enough lifeboats for all the passengers on board. If only, if only, if only. Brethren, those if onlys can paralyze us. We can't do that. We need to pick ourselves up. Let Jesus dust us off. And continue on that straight and narrow path. It was purely coincidental. The passage we read before the Lord's Supper, I read now. Isaiah says, Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. Jesus was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. 1 John 1 verse 9, I alluded to this a moment ago. John says, if we confess our faults, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Finally, God is speaking through Isaiah. He says, I am the one who blots out your transgressions. I will remember them no more. Brethren, if God is eager to forgive, if God wants to forgive and will forgive, we need to forgive ourselves. Now, there is another part of this story. I'm going to save that for another time and another lesson. But let's rehearse the points that we've made this morning, and then we'll make our application, and the lesson will be yours. First of all, failing does not mean failure. All of us have failed at something. Some of our failings are small and insignificant. Some of them, it takes a lifetime, if ever, to overcome. but it doesn't make us a failure. We need to learn even from those bad experiences and become a greater Christian. Number two, after we've learned the lesson about our mistakes, let them go. Let go and let God. And finally, we need to look to the future. That's where heaven is. It's not in the past. It's not even in the present. Heaven is our anticipation. It is a reality, but it is an anticipation. Let me close with one illustration I just thought of, and I think I used this once here before. Down in South America some years ago, a father and a son were estranged. The father knew the boy still lived in the city, but he didn't know where. He tried talking to his friends. They wouldn't acknowledge anything. He tried looking for him. He never found him. So finally, realizing that the boy enjoyed reading the local newspaper, he took out an ad in the paper. He said, "Dear son, I'm sorry we're estranged." He said, "All is forgiven. I want to be your father. I love you. Please meet me in front of the newspaper office at 11 o'clock this coming Saturday." Well, that Saturday, his son showed up. And so did 100 other boys who were estranged from their father, that just wanted their father's love and acceptance. Brethren, that's why we're living life today, to receive God's love and God's acceptance. He sent his son to bring us with him when we go to heaven. Jesus said, "You come to me and I'll give you everlasting life." So if today, for any reason, anyone needs to respond, the invitation song is number